Next area that we'd like to talk about is the duties of the of chiropractors to the public. So we've discussed now the duties of chiropractors to the patient, series of things, the duties of chiropractors to other doctors and to other chiropractors. The third area then is the duties of chiropractors to the public. Here we're talking about a couple of areas. The first one we're talking about is our relationship with the government. There are times when a chiropractor needs to get involved with the government. For example, we as chiropractors may take care of a patient who has been injured. That patient who has been injured may ultimately end up filing a lawsuit against some party who's deemed to be at fault. We may be called upon by the court system, by the government court system, to produce evidence or to present testimony to corroborate the patient's claims or not. So we may be called into the legal system to participate in the legal system as a witness, generally. And it is our duty to do so. You know, in the United States, we have a participatory government. You elect your government officials. Your government officials may appoint other officials. Judges generally they're either elected or they're appointed by elected officials. So we have a court system that is really part of our government, and it really depends on participation. The jury system, where members of the community are called to judge the actions of their peers, you know, it depends on a sort of a volunteer system. The court system operates because people will cooperate. We as chiropractors have a duty and an obligation to cooperate when asked. Lots of times we aren't asked, we're ordered, we're told. We receive a subpoena, you have to go to court. If you don't, they send the deputies for you and they'll hold you in a jail cell until they need you. So a lot of times our participation is not seen as volunteerism, but basically it is. The court system works because people volunteer, people do what they're supposed to do. One of the things we do and the obligations we have as citizens is to participate in the legal system when it is appropriate to do so. As a chiropractor, you will engage in care of patients who end up filing lawsuits. You know, most typically it's an automobile accident or a fall down the stairs or in a store or something like that. A lawsuit is filed, and then we are asked to present testimony concerning the patient's injuries, concerning the patient's course of care, how they did during chiropractic care, and concerning the outcome of whether or not there is some permanent impairment or permanent disability involved in the patient's injury. So we may be asked all of that information. We have an obligation to show up in court and present the information. Depending on the situation, you may be paid to do this. You may, depending on the attorneys involved, you may get paid a fee for testifying, or you may not get paid a fee for testifying. It's part of your responsibility to patients. That if you take care of a patient and you provide care, then it may become incumbent upon you to show up and testify about that care at some point in the court system. If you're called upon to do so, you should graciously show up and do your job. To present the testimony in a truthful and honest way, serving your community, serving your government, serving your humankind and your patients. So we have that obligation when we're dealing with the public. Second area of concern in the public is the business of advertising. The chiropractors present themselves to the public by advertising. That's the world of advertising. We may do very low-key advertising, just putting our name in the phone book, having a sign in front of our office, and that's it. We may leave it with that. Or we may do a more active marketing approach. Lots of chiropractors have a marketing plan where they do some print advertising, some radio advertising, some direct mail advertising, some billboard and signage advertising. We have a web page on the internet. And we have a marketing approach, we have a marketing program. So our offering our services to the public is our marketing plan and our marketing approach. We have an ethical obligation as chiropractors and as professionals in our marketing approach to be honest, not to deceive the public, not to misrepresent our profession and what it can do, and to be absolutely people of integrity when we're offering our services. You know, there are some guidelines for advertising. Some states get very, very picky in their state board regulations about what you may advertise or may not advertise. Kentucky, a few years ago, I don't know if it's still this way, Kentucky had regulations concerning how big the sign could be in front of your office. They would say 4 feet by 6 feet is the size of the sign you may have. The letters of your name and the word chiropractor may be no larger than 6 inches tall. So they got very, very picky about what kind of sign you could have, how big it could be, how tall the letters could be. They also got picky about how many days you could run an ad in the paper. They say you can only run an ad in the paper for two reasons. Number one is you're opening or closing an office. You're deciding to open a brand new office or you're closing down an existing office. Number two is that you're changing your hours. Those are the only valid reasons, they used to say, to run an ad in the paper. And you may run it for 7 days at each occasion. You can run it a week upon opening a new practice or closing a practice. You can run it a week upon changing your hours. Notifying the public of change of your times available could be important. So they allowed you to advertise on that basis, but no other basis. You could not advertise saying chiropractic can help the following conditions. Kentucky would jump you in a second and you would be fined. So many states do have regulations concerning what you can say, what kinds of ads you may do. So before you go doing any big advertising campaign, you should obviously check and make sure that what you're planning to do is within the bounds of professional regulations that may be in existence in your state. So in advertising, you know, a little rule of thumb, it's hard to talk about advertising without getting into matters of what we call getting into matters of taste. How tasteful is it? You know, what may be tasteful to you may be distasteful to me. You know, running some sort of testimonial ad where I have a patient write a letter and we print it in the newspaper saying how wonderful I am and how I've taken care of their problems and healed the sick and raised the dead. It may be acceptable taste to you, but it may be very distasteful to me. So we have differences of opinion sometimes about what kinds of advertisement we ought to do. So various organizations have come up with guidelines for advertising, and we have lots of guidelines for advertising, and some of them are dependent on this matter of taste, good taste, bad taste. But here are a few guidelines that frequently come up. I would mention to you that your malpractice insurer is very often interested in what kind of ads you do. When you apply for malpractice insurance, they may ask you to send a copy of your Yellow Page ad, to send a copy of any newspaper ads you've been running, to send a copy of any direct mail solicitations that you're doing. And your malpractice insurer, if it is deemed that your advertising is a little bit shady or steps outside the guidelines, their recourse is not insure you. They say you're sticking your neck out, you're too risky if you're doing a lot of flashy advertising, you're too risky, they don't want to insure you. So you have to be very careful from an insurance point of view about your advertising. Here are some guidelines put out by the National Chiropractic Mutual Insurance Company. That's a malpractice insurance company for chiropractors. Here are some of their guidelines. And they say that we will not insure you and we will discontinue your coverage if you do any of these things. And here's a little shopping list. They say the continued use of one or more of the following in advertising or promotion shall be grounds to terminate or refuse coverage. Number one, the use of testimonials. I mentioned that a minute ago. Having a patient write a letter saying what a wonderful chiropractor you are and how you fixed up whatever problem they have is a testimonial ad, giving a testimony. And the NCMIC says use of testimonials, we will refuse coverage or we will discontinue your coverage if you do that. Number two, offering free or discounted services. So you've all seen in the past, I have free x-rays, free examination, free something or other. in a big newspaper ad or in a TV guide ad or something like that. NCMIC says, you know, wrong impression is being presented concerning the profession here, offering free services and steeply discounted services, while not illegal, okay, in most states, it's not illegal, they say that we won't insure you if you do that. It puts you at more risk, it makes you seem, you know, their words would be, it makes you seem trashy to the public if you're doing steep discounts and free services, this sort of thing. This does not prohibit you from engaging in free services maybe offered by your association. Say your state association is offering a spinal checkup at the mall, or you're offering a spinal checkups at a booth at the county fair or something like that. If you're affiliated with a nonprofit corporation like a college or an association, this does not prohibit that. It prohibits it for use as a marketing ploy for your practice. So offering free or discounted services could have your insurance coverage pulled. Number three, exaggerated claims or promises or statements guaranteeing or strongly inferring success. They don't want chiropractors to say, I can cure this, I can fix that, that I have good results with this kind of problem. They don't want problem-based promises. Remember before we talked about guarantee of cure. They're saying here, if you do guarantees of cure, we won't cover you. We will not give you insurance. You're too risky when you're doing that. You have to be careful with exaggerated claims. Don't make too many wild and crazy claims. Number four, statements that are false, fraudulent, deceptive, misleading, or sensational. You know, what's sensational to you may not be sensational to me. But if the NCMIC declares that it's sensational, you won't have insurance coverage. So statements that are false, fraudulent, deceptive. Deceptive statements sometimes might, you know, making an unsubstantiated claim. If you say chiropractic can cure Alzheimer's disease, you better have some facts behind you to prove that and strongly back up your claim. Otherwise, you're making a false and unsubstantiated claim, and that is deceptive to the public. You have to be careful with your statements. Number five, statements claiming any unusual expertise or higher than usual degree of success in a particular area, or making claims of professional superiority. Saying I'm better than another chiropractor is generally not something we do. Your malpractice insurers won't cover you if you do. You can't say I'm better than another chiropractor, or I'm the tops in my field, or I'm the best. Number six, statements or illustrations which are offensive or in bad taste. How about that? Bad taste is, you know, somebody's call. You know, your bad taste may not be my bad taste, but NCMIC has a notion of what bad taste is. And if your ads are in bad taste, they will not cover you. If they're offensive, you know, what's offensive to you may not be offensive to me, and vice versa. But their idea is that it depreciates the professional image of the whole profession when chiropractors get involved in bad taste advertising or offensive advertising. Number seven, promotion of treatment pursuant to a contract signed by the doctor and or patient. The NCMIC does not want you to sign contracts for a program of care where the patient signs, you sign, and you agree to 25 visits or 36 visits or 29 visits over a period of time for X amount of dollars. They don't want a contract for a prolonged period of care. They say take care of the patient as long as you need to take care of the patient. Don't make a contract and sign them in for a certain number of adjustments in advance. Their idea is that you can't really tell in advance how many adjustments a patient is going to need. That's an ongoing process. You monitor the patient, you monitor the process, and you provide care as long as it's necessary. You don't do it according to some prepaid plan, three times a week, two times a week, or anything else. NCMIC says they will discontinue your insurance coverage if you engage in such contracting kinds of behaviors with patients. The last one is that a chiropractor will have his insurance refused or terminated if he uses any statements or illustrations which make the practitioner more likely to generate claims or be more difficult to defend. They're saying here that if you say anything or do anything that make you more likely to get sued, they won't cover you. And as an insurance company, you can't blame them. Their idea is, if you're sticking your neck out and making yourself vulnerable to lawsuits, they don't want to cover you. So those are some of the guidelines created by the NCMIC. There's another little set of guidelines put out by the New York State Chiropractic Association, which just has a few additional guidelines here for practice, and none of these are to be interpreted as hard and fast rules. But they just say all ads should be presented in a dignified manner. Don't do flashy things. Don't do cartoon ads. Don't do, wildly sensational ads. They also say ads should not be flamboyant. These are their words. They should not contain puffery, self-laudation, or claims that cannot be measured or verified. You know, some chiropractors get carried away with themselves and make statements that just really can't be verified. There's just no way for them to do it. The New York State Association says that demonstrations, dramatizing, or other portrayals are in bad taste and should not be used. Testimonials or endorsements, we've already mentioned those. Guarantees for any service, we've mentioned that. Advertising of fees for services should be limited to routine chiropractic services. They're saying that if you're going to advertise fees, you should just advertise your routine fees. Comparison of fees offered by other providers should not be made. That chiropractor B down the street charges $50, I only charge $25, come see me. You know, is not an acceptable way of marketing yourself. Here's another thing they don't like. Vague business-inducing references to reasonable fees, affordable prices, etc. should be avoided. Don't make vague comments. They say the advertising should be clean and simple with no wavy lines or stars. Use your name in the ad. Include a photograph of yourself, a recent photograph of yourself. List your office hours. They give a few other guidelines for advertising. But in our approach to the public, we should use tasteful ads, ads that reflect well on the profession, that don't embarrass the profession or any members of the profession, and just keep our advertising chiropractic rather than advertising chiropractor, and you will probably be safe when you're if you do that.